What a far-reaching vision Paul had, my friends, when he was talking about love in these chapters, chapters 12 to 15. How in Christ, by the mercies of God, we receive the Gentiles, we receive the other nations. He didn't want a church divided. He knew that people who had become Christians through Judaism, that is, people who were Jewish and had become Christians, would be afraid that the church would be overrun by Gentiles. Does that sound familiar to you in other quarters? Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the good news, the gospel. The word gospel means good news, glad tidings. And we need glad tidings, we need good news from God. There is so much bad news in the world and from Satan and from everyone and even from our own hearts that we would be simply overwhelmed if there were not good news from God to counter it. You know, I am often amazed, friends, that we think that God is an endless judge when we forget, in the light of the fact that we have been given, rather, the good news. Now look, my friends, as we learn the good news on this program, we train our faith in it. That's what this program is about, training our faith in the good news so that we can intercept our struggles. Now, look, Paul says in chapter 15, verse 14 onwards, this is how you can see where he's been going all along. I'm going to read it from, what is this translation? The English Standard Version, chapter 15, from verse 14 to 21. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Now notice the core, my friend, of what Paul says. I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You see, do you get the spirit of this? Paul is the defender of the foreign nations. He is the defender of the nations who are not Jewish. He is saying, don't divide up the body of Christ. Don't cut it in half. Don't make Jewish Christians one kind of Christian and Gentile Christians another. He is urging the Christians the Hebrew Christians not to make a monopoly of Christianity, not to say, this is ours, it belongs to us. To us were given the oracles of God, and by golly, we're going to keep them, and you'd better come this way if you want to be a Christian. No, Paul was making it very clear that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was wider, larger, bigger, deeper than any personal ritual or tradition or culture that we have. He belongs to the world. And so, you see, Paul is telling us how to love one another. He's telling us how to reach out to one another, include one another, not exclude one another, and accept those who are weak in the faith and all of that, who might have certain traditions, certain ways of doing things, because they are afraid that Christ is not the full atonement for their sins. They're afraid of being condemned. Now, when I read these love chapters, my friends, Romans 12, 13, 14, and 15, when I explore them, as I have with you over the last many, many weeks, many months actually, I say to myself, how dare certain people say that Paul is only giving half the gospel, that he is all into being accepted and accounted righteous, but he doesn't teach us how to be righteous. You have to find other books on that, like Peter and other places, James, and because he's not giving the whole story. I mean, this is an outrage. Paul has clearly crafted this book to include everything. Yes, in brevity, perhaps, but you will not find any more detailed way of living in the New Testament than you will in Romans 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. Here Paul is showing us how we live in the light of the mercies of God, how we elevate the value of a brother or sister by their value in Christ, how we step aside from our flesh, our natural humanity, to love in our spirit. Granted, yes, we all have struggles with this, but don't come to me, my friend, and tell me that Paul is not giving a solid, all-rounded gospel here. You know, it sticks in my craw and is really like a thorn in the flesh to me that someone said through a friend of mine, a pastor said through a friend of mine years ago, and you've heard me complain and whine about this before, so give me a moment to whine. He said to his friend, this pastor, well, Colin Cook preaches Jesus as a Santa Claus. Ah, yes, okay, Jesus a Santa Claus. Do you see what he's doing, though? He's diminishing what I've been teaching, diminishing what Paul is teaching here in the book of Romans, because he misunderstands it. There are some rather shallow, unresearching, rather mindless pastors out there, and regrettably this man is one of them. Now, hopefully he will change his mind and start studying further and look into this matter and become profound. We don't become profound by our own intellectualism, by our own degrees and what have you. We become profound by searching the Word and seeing what it really is saying. Tell me that Jesus is a Santa Claus when Jesus, in the light of his sacrifice and the mercies upon us, he challenges us with a love here that is utterly beyond our human reach. You say, that's what scares me, Colin, quite frankly, because it is beyond my human reach. I'm stuck in my addiction. How can I, with such a selfish concentration on myself, love someone else? But that is the whole point of the gospel. The gospel says, don't be stopped by your addiction because it is not counted against you. Move forward and reach out in love, and you will see the addiction begin to fade. This is not cheap grace. This is not Santa Claus Christianity, except that our Jesus is the greatest Santa Claus that ever was and gives gifts that none deserve. But this is not Santa Claus in the sense that we're all sitting around like little kids, doing nothing, not being responsible for anything, and just being spoilt crazy by gifts that we will throw away in a matter of days. So if I'm irate, yes, I am. But the thorn in the flesh is okay, my friend, because it stimulates me to proclaim the gospel all the more, that we are indeed counted righteous without any works to our credit. And it is only that righteous accounting without any works, that forgiveness of all that we have ever done, so there's no condemnation for all that we have done and will do, that gives us the courage to start loving. Now, my friend, I'll tell you this. You remember at the beginning of this broadcast, I said that don't you think that some of the Jewish Christians were getting quite nervous that Paul would bring in so many Gentiles that he'd change the texture of the church, he'd change the nature of Judaism? Well, yes. Does that sound a little bit familiar to you Americans? There are many American Christians who are afraid that the nature of America will change as more and more Spanish people have more and more babies, and more Asian people will have more children, and more immigrants will come over here. I'm talking about the legal ones now, not the illegal ones, though that's an issue too, and that the nature of America will change. Well, yes, it will. That is the nature of the good news. For the good news includes more and more and more people and enriches and modifies and makes variations in the body of Christ so that we almost feel overwhelmed by the new family we've got. But that's all right. God's in charge. We are not. We are not preserving here a culture that will crowd out the children of God. We are rather opening the doors. And we have to open the doors. We have to open the doors of our heart, our family, our neighborhood. Look, my friend, when I say this, I'm scared. Because I really don't know how to do it. I'm much more inclined to be a recluse myself. I'm much more inclined to just stay to myself. I don't want too many interruptions. Yes, I have my Monday night group, and I love them. And yet, I find it a challenge to reach beyond myself, don't you? But where God brings people into our realm, that is where we are called upon to love and understand in the loving. Because we have received mercy, and we're passing it on. Now, my friend, you may be troubled by habits and peculiarities and even forms of kinkiness that really bother you as a Christian. You may wonder, why haven't I overcome this? Why haven't I repented enough to breaking of this habit? What's wrong with me? Well, we're about to have another seminar, and it's called Did My Parents Screw Me Up, or Am I Just a Sinner? Is this problem that I have simply something that I am rebellious about, that I don't know how to say no to, and that I lack discipline over? Or is there a woundedness in me that comes from childhood, dysfunctional families, or whatever, and I haven't faced it or looked at that or found a resolution to it? That's what this seminar's about. Did my parents screw me up, or am I just a sinner? I invite you to come to it Saturday the 27th of October at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, with a break for lunch. Now, La Quinta Inn is on Hamden Avenue, 7190 West Hamden Avenue in Lakewood, between Wadsworth and Sheridan on the south frontage road there of West Hamden Avenue. Admission is free. So you come along whether you can afford it or not, because it's free. But donations are very, very welcome. You are welcome to give a donation to support the ministry or not at all. Thank you, my friends. So, did my parents screw me up, or am I just a sinner? Saturday, 27th of October. Mark your calendar. I look forward to seeing you next time, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.